Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Tons of great articles and podcasts posted each and every day over at AmericaOutLoud.com, so be sure to check that out. We're excited for the show tonight. Once again, we're going to be joined by Jeff Dornick, who previously we've had on, talk about his last venture, which was Cancel Proof Christianity. We also had on Dr. Bobby to talk about that event. And tonight, Jeff is going to be on and tell us about his new event, the American Action Summit into Medical Tyranny, which is February 5th. So we're looking forward to hearing what that is all about. Before we hear from Jeff, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing great. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And as we always say, please share the broadcast on the social media platforms that you are currently on, because you never know when they will come and try and cut you off. We see that within the last few months, actually, a lot of conservatives have been once again deplatformed from Twitter, deplatformed from Facebook, deplatformed from YouTube. So we have got to band together and support each other. And as you mentioned, we have Jeff Dornick coming back on. And he and Dr. Bobby Lopez did a summit back in September, September 25th to be exact, called the Cancel Proof Christianity Summit. And in that summit, you know, they covered a variety of topics: media, history, literature, theology, language. And I participated, I listened in, and it was extremely powerful. And I'm glad that he's back and he's putting together yet another summit, American Action Summit into Medical Tyranny. I think that's highly important considering what we're going through today, what we're encountering with COVID, the mixed messaging. Going back to what I said when I opened up, if you say the wrong thing, you're subject to be deplatformed. If you question anything that Dr. Fauci, also known as Dr. Fraud, also known as Dr. Frankenstein, anything that he says, you're deplatformed. How in the heck did we manage to give this guy power over our lives? He's not an elected official. He's not the president. Not that we have one now. We have a resident in the White House. But little Dr. Fauci commands so much power that if you even question him, big tech will immediately attack you. The mainstream media will attack you. Even the FBI is subject to come after you. How did we get here? We're Americans. We're entitled to free speech. And why should we just listen to what he's saying? When you go into the doctor and the doctor says, hey, you've got this, everyone always says, get a second opinion, get a third opinion. Why is it that we can't get a second opinion with Dr. Fauci? Why is it his word is golden? It doesn't make any sense. And people like sheeples, we're sitting there and we're agreeing. We don't care. This all started in 2020 with the mixed messaging. We were all afraid what was coming down the pipeline. We didn't know what was going to happen. People were afraid of dying. So they listened. And whatever he said, they acquiesced. Now, to President Trump's credit, whether he knew it or not, or he was just speaking, he said, this virus is just like the flu. It's just like the common cold. We'll live with it. Let's keep on with our lives. And people mocked him. They said he was crazy. But 2.5 years later, look at where we are. They're now saying it's like the flu. They don't want to come out and say it because they don't want to give him credit. But we're now seeing it for ourselves. We're now seeing that when they said to shut down, to give it just like a couple of weeks and it'll be over, or 5 weeks, it was more than that. When they said, don't wear the mask and it'll be gone, it was more than that. And when we found out that we could possibly have a vaccine, now I know a lot of people aren't into the vaccine, and I get it. And Trump said, oh, we're going to do Operation Warp Speed. And there were so many on the media laughing about it and saying that's impossible. It would never happen. But then it happened. And then once it happened, they said, I'm not going to take it, putting more fear into people's hearts and their minds. And then when they did what they did with the election, they stole the election, Biden got more votes, or they put more votes out there. Okay, you decide. They wanted to say, take the vaccine and then you'll be okay. We took the vaccine. Okay, take another vaccine. And I always tell people, look at the vaccine card. It was designed with the purpose or the intent of having you to take more than just one shot. They're like all these little placeholders, but we didn't question it. We thought, okay, I'll take the first one. Okay, now I'll take the second one, and that's it. And then there's a third. Now, if you look at your vaccine card, there's a fourth, there's a fifth, there's a sixth, there's a seventh, and it just keeps going. There was a reason behind that, but we didn't question it. We were quiet. Now, there were those who did question it and they wondered what's going on, but they were afraid. We became afraid of our own government. And Andrew, I hate to say that. I question everything the government does now. I don't believe anything, especially with this resident in the White House. I don't believe a word they're saying. I don't believe the CDC. I don't believe any of the numbers. Not that I ever, you know, really and truly believe the numbers coming from the CDC or any other place, because I know that people can mess around with the numbers to get the desired numbers that they want. But now look at where we are. With all of this vaccine, there's a possibly another vaccine on the way, and Dr. Fauci is in front of all of it. Dr. Fauci, who stands to make, I think, receive a $300,000 pension from taxpayer money. Dr. Fauci, who has flipped and flopped so many times. Dr. Fauci, who, if he was in Trump's camp supporting Trump, the media would have already exposed it. But we can't say anything. It's like we're at the mercy of this evil man, and a mad scientist, and we're the guinea pigs. I had a friend who's a liberal, is in the college setting, told me, and happily told me, oh, I volunteered to take the vaccine. I'm like, really? Oh, yeah, I volunteered. I'm like, okay, so you're going to be the guinea pig. Congratulations. What is happening? Why can't we speak out? Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid to take a risk? Because it could cost you your livelihood. And if we were to step out and say, I'm against this, other people will say they'll do it, but then they'll back away when it starts getting too tough and too hard. We have got to stop and wake up and push back. I know that everyone is looking at 2022 and they're saying, hey, when we get there, we're going to do this. But I caution you, as I have always cautioned you on the show, never underestimate the Republicans' ability to just blow everything up. Never underestimate the Republicans' ability to put people into power who will do absolutely nothing, will look the other way. Look at Dan Crenshaw. He's talking a good talk right now. But the moment they get control, the first thing I'm just, you know, supposing he'll say, oh, well, we don't have time for that. Let's just look at the people's business. Excuse me, that is the people's business. Why we were lied to, why people who lied to us consistently and had us to put our lives on the line, put our lives on hold. That is the people's business. We can't just pivot. We need answers. But yet here we are. Here we are at a crossroads almost. Should we? Shouldn't we? Where do we go from here? What do we do? So I'm glad tonight we have Jeff back on to talk about the next venture that he's looking at. Because as I said, the first one was powerful. And we need more like that. Council-proof Christianity. We need more like that. We need people who will go the distance and not be afraid. And the speakers he had representing at the summit, they were at the top of their game. They weren't just someone off the streets. They were at the top of their game. They knew what they were talking about. So I applaud him for assembling such a great team of people to share their knowledge. We need more of that. Jeff, how are you tonight?
I am doing very good. Very good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Jeff, tell us about the next venture that you're on. I think it's going to take place on February 5th.
Yeah. So on February 5th, we are, we're tackling a lot with this next event and kind of series of events that we're putting together. And so what we're doing is we're doing a series of events, and it'll probably go on indefinitely. As long as we have hot button important issues that we've got to deal with, we're going to keep doing these. They're called the American Action Summits. And this first one that we're doing is titled End Medical Tyranny. And the goal is in the name, action. What can we leave the audience with that they can take back to their lives, apply to their lives in their local communities to protect their families, in their state, wherever that might be? What can we do in order to inspire people to actually follow through with action and actually make change? And so we're going to be tackling everything from the vaccine mandates to religious exemptions to what's really in the vaccines, how to protect yourself if you have not gotten COVID-19, what to do if you do get COVID-19, should you take ivermectin? Should you not take ivermectin? Should you get vaccinated? What do you do if you have been vaccinated? So we're going to dive into all of that kind of stuff. And it's a really unique concept what we're doing. So instead of just trying to get one location where everybody flies to that one location, what we're actually doing is this is going to take place simultaneously at three different locations across the country. So we're going to have one location in Hudson, Iowa. one location in Lima, Ohio, and then one location in Knoxville, Tennessee. Each location will have about 3 to 4 live in-person speakers, but everybody's going to be able to watch the entire conference. So we're going to be live streaming it for anybody who wants to watch online. If you can get to a location, you will see about 3 or 4 live in-person speakers. And then up on the big screen in those churches where this is taking place, you will be able to see the speaker speaking at the other locations as well. And so it's a really unique concept. It's a lot falling on my shoulders when it comes to the technology, because it's a big task that we're tackling here. But I think it's going to be effective, especially with the upcoming vaccine mandates, more than likely going to be implemented to travel. And so that was one of the reasons why we wanted to do this, is get out ahead of the curve and make it to where all you got to do is you could just got to take a short drive. You can get there in person, or you can hop onto the live stream and watch as well. And I mean, the lineup we've assembled for this one is amazing, and I'm super excited at who we're able to bring in. We've got Dr. Sherry Tenpenny will be there speaking. We've got Pastor Greg Locke, Dr. Mark Sherwood, J.R. Majewski. He's running for Congress out in Ohio. He's been endorsed by President Trump. We've got Mindy Robinson will be emceeing. And it's going to be a lot of hands-on training, a lot of inspiration, getting you fired up, but then getting you fired up to actually follow through with action. So that's really our mission with this.
Well, Jeff, you mentioned this is like a huge task that you're taking on. Why do you think that it's beneficial? And why are you doing it? Just speaking for yourself, why do you think at this time that you're doing it? A lot of people have different reasons for doing things. We see that there are a lot of people that are out there on different platforms that are doing different things. But I want to ask you directly, why now?
So for me, on a personal level, I've got my podcast. I host that every day. I talk a lot, but I've always been somebody that is, if I have an opportunity to actually follow through with action and actually do something, like actually accomplish something, I would much rather do that than just sit back and talk. And I've been seeing a lot more of these like events and tours and rallies and all of that popping up. And they're great and all that. When you think about it, those are the places where if you go to a conservative rally, that's where you get fired up, and it really builds up your belief in the conservative worldview and the Republican Party and in what you believe. But the thing that I notice as I've been going to more and more of these events is that you get fired up. And then I remember the last one, I went and I sat in my car and I was like, okay, everybody's fired up. I can see it in everybody's eyes, but what are they fired up to actually do? It's almost like they get fired up to sit back and watch somebody like Mike Lindell save the country by exposing election fraud. Now, Mike Lindell is a great guy, and I appreciate he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's actually following through and trying to investigate election fraud. But what am I supposed to do? Do I just sit back and applaud Mike Lindell? Or do I actually do something? And so for me, I saw that, and I'm looking around at the different events, and I'm like, nobody's really focusing on the follow-through. Nobody's focusing on the action. And so we're trying to provide the solution to that by obviously getting top-notch speakers, but then we're working directly hand in hand with each and every speaker to make sure that their sessions and their talks are specifically geared around what can you take away from this information and actually apply it to your life. You know, we're going to have the Iowa Mama Bears. They're going to be speaking about how do you organize and actually pass legislation? How can you gather together a group of people to hold your legislators accountable to force them to pass legislation? They've actually been successful at that in Iowa. So they're going to teach us how to do that. So for me, really, the inspiration of this is seeing people getting fired up and the effectiveness of these kinds of events. But it seems like there's not as much follow through for the everyday person. So we're really focused on the everyday person. What can you do in your local community, county, city, state, whatever that might be, in order to end this medical tyranny we're fighting against?
We're definitely fighting against it. As we see just recently, the Supreme Court came out and ruled against Biden's whole mandate for corporations, but they kind of upheld the mandate for hospitals, health insurance. Now, we're now finding that there are the appellate courts are saying that, no, you can't do it. But there shouldn't be a mandate at all. Why is there a mandate? Why is it that we had those judges, Kavanaugh and Roberts, and we questioned your jurisprudence at times, and you know what? It's okay. We can do that. They tell us that you can't do it, but we can because the left does it all the time. So why can't we do it? But back to what I was saying, why do we need a mandate? Why can't we decide ourselves what we want to put in our bodies? Can't we be stewards of our own lives as opposed to having the government to tell us you have to do this, the tyranny setting in and saying you must do this or you will lose your livelihood? I have a friend who was in the hospital. I went to visit. Now, she thinks that she's there because she took the third vax and it knocked her out. I was talking with her doctors. They don't know. But while she's there, there's a shortage, a hospital shortage of staffing. Now, they would lead you to believe that, oh, the staff, they're getting the virus. No, a lot of them are saying, screw this. I don't want to take the vaccine. So I quit. Or if you want to fire me, fire me. No, what good does that do to the public? Well, I'll tell you one thing it does for the Biden administration. It makes it seem as if, though, oh, the hospitals, they're full. There's so many people that are in the hospital. Well, no, exactly. You probably have 10 people that are there and all the other hospital beds are vacant because there's a staff shortage, but they're telling you they're at capacity. Well, in that sense, they are at capacity because they can't bring in any more people because they don't have the staff. So why would the Supreme Court make such a stupid, and I'm going to say it, a stupid call like that? We've got to start standing up.
Well, here's the thing, and this is the thing to think about with the Supreme Court, is that that decision to uphold the health workers' vaccine mandate, to me, that's a symptom of a deeper seated problem that we have here in the United States, where the federal government has its hands in everything, because what they do is they trade your freedom through bribery of government handouts. So what we see is that the Supreme Court actually allowed the vaccine mandate to occur in hospitals and healthcare locations and providers that are taking money from the federal government, whether that's through Medicare or whether that's through any kind of subsidies or anything along those lines. If they're taking federal dollars, the Supreme Court actually put through that the federal government can actually implement these vaccine mandates as a condition upon receiving this money. I had a really good conversation with Dr. Mark Sherwood yesterday or 2 days ago, actually, on my podcast. I highly encourage you guys to go listen to that. Number one, because he makes the case, and it's a very, very good case, that conservatives are relying on ivermectin way too much. And that should not be our first line of defense against COVID-19. And I'll let you guys listen to that to get more information on that. But I'll just throw that out there as a teaser. But the other aspect that we talked about is the importance of getting the federal government out of the banks of the states and then also of the healthcare system. Because as long as they're sending money to the states and as long as they're sending money to hospitals, they put conditions upon that or they'll cut you off. At a certain point, where the governor's saying, yeah, you know what, we don't want to take federal dollars because we know it comes with strings attached. So cut them off. I think one of the things that we really need to see is we need to see more doctors banding together and starting local health providers that are free from medical tyranny, that are free from government handouts, because that money always comes with strings attached. So the Supreme Court upheld it because of the fact that those healthcare providers are taking money from the federal government, and that it is understood that if the federal government is giving you money, they have the authority to put strings attached to that money.
That's interesting that you would say about ivermectin and how we need to, Republicans are definitely, they keep mentioning that and other monoclonals. But I also want to mention, and I noticed that is just as important as you said, when we have the federal government giving money, they think that we control you now. You've got to do what we say do. You see that in the schools. If we're going to give you this, you've got to play along with us. And when it involves the left, they will make darn certain that these institutions are following what the government wants. Going back to what you're saying about the doctors banding together. Why is it that doctors aren't standing up? There are a lot of doctors that are out there that are looking at all these mandates and they're shaking their heads and they're saying, this makes no sense. This is crazy. Kids needing a vaccine, and now they're trying to push it down to five-year-olds and then kids that are younger than that, even babies. Whereas 24 months ago, they were saying, oh, don't worry about the kids. They will never get it. They have strong immune systems. And now you have doctors, medical doctors, that are following in line and saying, yep, you need to take it. You're going to do it. I took my kid to see his pediatrician. And I said, well, do you think he needs it? She's like, well, you know, I mean, I know he has a strong immune system, but I would just go ahead and do it. Because you see that they're going in that direction anyway. Going in what direction? That they're trying to mandate it? That's not a reason for my kid to take it. He's 8 years old. So why should I just, hey, put your arm out there and get it? I mean, they're trying to force our hands by saying he can't go to a restaurant. He can't participate in indoor activities. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on parents to acquiesce and just say, hey, just get it over with. Let's just do it. But down the line, when something goes wrong, am I going to get a payout? Like George Floyd's family got a payout? I don't mean to conflate the two, but I'm just asking, am I going to get a payout if something happens to my kid? Or if you remember, they said that, nope, you can't sue. It's just one of those hiccups. So it does beg the question, what the heck are we up against here? Why is there a push for this? So we need to know. So I'm glad that you're coming out with the summit, Jeff. And more people should wake up and listen up, as opposed to listening to what the media and Dr. Fauci is telling us to do. Because there are ways to avoid getting COVID. And if you do get it, you're not going to die, as they're telling us they're going to die. I find it interesting that you don't see those numbers at the bottom of the TV screen anymore of the people that are dying or have died. And you know why? Well, because more people have died since Joe Biden has been in office with three vaxxers and all these other mandates that we've been told to do or instructions than they ever did die under President Trump. But quiet as it's kept, and they won't tell you that. They'll keep that from you. They'll scare you. It's all scare tactics. Jeff, do you think that what they're doing right now is a part of their whole machination to scare people into just acquiescing and taking these vaccines and not asking any questions?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Their entire strategy is being implemented because of fear. And you know, and again, I always say, and I know, you know, there's just as much craziness going on out in like New York and some of the other liberal states. But for me out here in California, I can't tell you how many of my liberal progressive friends are running around bragging about, hey, I just got my next booster shot. Look at me. I'm saving the country. I'm saving my community. I'm protecting you, even if you're not willing to get the vaccine. And I'm looking at this. And the CDC quietly came out with a report the other day where they actually said that people like me who have already had COVID-19 are nearly twice as protected from COVID as those that are getting vaccinated. I mean, do you see me running around and bragging? I mean, maybe I should take on the leftist, you know, tactic of just running around bragging and making all the vaccinated feel so bad because they haven't actually gotten COVID. And guess what? I'm doing more to save my community than you are. Although the interesting aspect of this is that many of the vaccinated, they are contracting COVID-19. They're going to the hospital. I can tell you right now, I have multiple friends and multiple acquaintances right now in the hospital from COVID-19. Every single one of them is fully vaccinated and boosted. The people that I know that are contracting COVID-19, but they're just staying home, they're not having to go to the hospital, they're not having to go to the emergency room, those are the people that are unvaccinated. I know it's anecdotal. It's not a peer-reviewed study like the left is always saying, but just from my personal experience right now, especially in regards to Omicron, the people that are getting vaccinated, those are the ones going to the hospital. Those are the ones that are having to have serious ramifications of this disease. The people that are not vaccinated, I'm not seeing any of my unvaccinated friends needing to go to the hospital.
You know, Jeff, I'm glad you mentioned that, people who have been vaccinated, because there are so many people that I know also that have been triple vaxxed and have gotten COVID. Triple vaxxed and have had COVID twice. And what I also find interesting is that now the people on the left, the talking heads that are getting COVID, as quiet as it's kept, they don't want to say anything. It's almost as if they're like, I don't want to disclose my medical condition. It's a violation of HIPAA. It's all quiet. And then once they've had it and they come out, it's like, oh yeah, well, yeah, I had COVID. Whereas if they find out someone on the right who has it, oh, it's like all off in box killer letters. This person has contracted COVID and they were so against the vaccine. But when they get it and they've had all the vaccines and they've followed all of the protocol, seemingly so they say, they don't want anyone to know about it. It's quiet as it's kept. And the media just walks right on over it because we've got to protect their privacy. We got to protect their health. We don't want anyone to know it's a violation of HIPAA. Yeah, but if someone else gets it, you're going to go out there and blurt it. You're going to go out there with a bullhorn and announcing it. It makes no sense. I am not saying, hear me clearly, because I don't want you guys to counsel me. I am not saying that the vaccine doesn't work for certain people. If you have an underlying condition, if you're obese, you should definitely talk with your healthcare professional and say, wait, you know, what should I do? But that's the other thing that we have to look at, is that the people who are getting the virus and that are supposedly in the hospital, taking up all the beds, are they in the hospital because of COVID or are they in the hospital because of other underlying conditions? Because we already know from day one when this virus hit that when people were dying, a lot of the coroners were told to put on the death certificate died of COVID simply because they had COVID in their body. The person might have died from a car accident. Okay, died from COVID. Really? Shot in the head. Okay, died from COVID. At some point, we need to get to the bottom of this. And again, it goes back to, should Republicans be successful in taking both houses in 2022? Their agenda has already been established. Should they choose to accept it? They need to look at this and pull back all the covers and put the truth out there. It will be difficult. It will be hard because the liberal media will go at them full throttle and will attack them and will talk against them and will say this is not true. And the sad thing about it is that because all of the left's disinformation has made it into the mainstream, has made it into our society, has become a commonplace, so to speak, it's going to be hard to refute. But we must do it.
No, I totally agree. I just want to say one thing really quick on that front. That's exactly my mission is, number one, we've got to take back the House and the Senate in 2022, but we've got to get people that are willing to force their elected officials to actually get this agenda done. And unfortunately, I'm not really seeing that from virtually any Republican in the House or Senate as we speak.
Yeah, and if you guys want to find out more about the event, check out AmericanActionSummit.com to get tickets or find out where you can live stream. You're tuned in to After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew, a special guest, Jeff Dorman.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com. HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we're back with After Dark with Robin Andrew, and our special guest tonight is Jeff Dornick. And before we went to break, we were talking about elections and consequences and election integrity and how this is all going to play into what Jeff is doing with the End Medical Tyranny, which is taking place on February 5th. And I would definitely encourage all of you to participate because this is crucial that we understand our rights and understand that there are other ways that we can combat COVID-19, the China virus. And it's all part of his American Action Summit. And again, go to AmericanActionSummit.com. Now, what I want to talk about in the second half is election integrity. We know now that the Democrats are going to try and say that the 2022 election was stolen, was rigged. Russia probably stole it. They won't say that China stole it, because they're in bed with China. But they will accuse everyone else. They'll say that Trump and his acolytes did something with the election, keeping Black people from voting. Now, mind you, Joe Biden won, or so they say, won the election. And he got, like, I think I said last time, 80,000. I meant 80 million, I think, or 8 million votes or something like that. So who wasn't able to vote? Because we know that he was able to win in North Carolina, thanks to Clyburn. So what Black people weren't given the rights to vote? Now, we do have a problem with elections. There is a serious problem. And one of the problems is that we don't know who's voting and where they're voting and how they're voting. You know, I know that we have a certain Tuesday that people go in and they're supposed to take their ballots and go and vote, but there's more to it than that. We have absentee votes. During the last big election, we had the mail-in ballots. We had drop-offs. What the heck is going on with our election process? And as I have said before, I don't care if one vote was miscounted. I don't care if two votes were miscounted and dead people voted. That's election fraud, and we have a problem. This is the United States of America, not a banana republic, not Sri Lanka, not some third world country. We should be able to know who's voting, and we should be able to call the election on election night. We shouldn't have to wait months or years. And when we do know who's won, it should be decisive. We shouldn't be, well, this person stole and this person. No, it shouldn't be any of that. And when you think back and you look back at our elections, it is always the left challenging the election, not wanting to accept the results. Look at Bush Gore. Oh, no, there is no way. I have to admit, at that time, I was right there with them. Oh, there's no way Bush won. Oh, there's no way. But he did. Fast forward to 2016, the exact same thing. Trump worked with Russia, and that's how he won. 2020. Well, when we went to bed, Trump was ahead. We woke up, Biden won. Now, of course, the Democrats were okay with that. But when you look at it, why were courts getting involved in the election when we have legislatures? All we had to do, we had a blueprint, follow the Constitution. Why weren't we following the Constitution when the Constitution said the legislatures, not the courts? But we had courts making decisions. We had politicians making decisions. We had the media getting involved with misinformation about the Constitution. We had big tech getting involved, silencing voices, putting out hit jobs on different individuals. And they were okay with it. But then you look at Republicans who are saying, well, we got the answer and we know what's happening. But yet and still, it's like, but what are you doing for 2022 besides talking a good talk? And as we said in the last half hour, actionable items is what counts. You can talk all you want to. We applaud Mike Lindell, but we want actionable items. What are we going to do? Pen to paper, outlining what needs to happen. Get the proper attorneys who understand election laws and say, this is what needs to happen. Actionable items. Talk is cheap. You can talk and get people all excited and get people happy. That's what they do on church on Sunday. The pastor gets up, he gives a great speech, and people are feeling great and dandy. But when they go home, it's like, oh my God, but what do I do? Actionable items is what we need. What are Republicans going to do with 2022 to make certain that every vote is counted, to make certain that illegals aren't voting, to make certain that the day of we know who won the election, to make certain that there are no mail-in ballots, to make certain that the absentee ballot has a beginning and an ending? It shouldn't be, we're going to give you 90 days to do this. No, if you want to vote by absentee, you have 60 days mailed in by this date. And if it's not, tough luck. This is what the legislatures are supposed to do. And this is what Republicans need to start focusing on, as opposed to telling us, well, we're going to win. Oh, it looks good. We stand to pick up all these seats in the House and in the Senate, and we're going to turn it over. Okay, yeah, but once you get it, what are you going to do with it? I mean, am I speaking like in left field here, guys? Do you guys agree, Andrew and Jeff, with what I'm saying? That Republicans have got to be prepared. They can't just talk. We need actionable items, election integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. The last election was proof of that. When you've got all this mail-in voting and ballot harvesting going on, it just people lose faith in the election process that things aren't on the up and up. I mean, ballot harvesting is ridiculous, and a lot of these blue states are doing it. And that's exactly what the Joe Biden and the Democrats are trying to push through.
I mean, when you look at it, when they were saying, again, I go back to blacks don't have the right to vote. They can't vote. They can't get ID, but you have to have an ID to go and eat. You have to have a COVID ID proving that you have taken the vaccine. You have to have an ID to prove that you've taken the vaccine in order to work at certain companies. So what is it? Why is it so difficult to get these individuals an ID? And if they can't get an ID, I would say Republicans, identify them and help them get the ID, and you're furthering your cause because you're showing them that you are concerned. Okay, you say you can't get an ID, come to my office, or we will come to you. We will help you get the documents to get an ID. I read the other day that illegals, they'll get a load of this, illegals can use arrest warrants or just warrants as a whole as ID to fly or to get on a bus. Can you believe it? They could use arrest warrants because when you get ready to fly, they want to see ID. So, hey, here's my arrest warrant. And okay, you can fly now. And this is compliments of the Biden administration to fly the illegals all over the world. And what you bet, they're going to probably fly them into red states so that they could change the demographics. It just doesn't make any sense. Jeff, what do you say?
Well, I mean, you know, when I'm looking at this, I have a slightly unique perspective when it comes to election fraud. Is when you actually sit down and think about it, the majority of people will probably end up agreeing with me. But the main reason why we lost the 2020 election was because of the Republican Party, and because we as conservatives have focused so much on Washington, D.C. and not focused enough on state politics and or state GOPs. Because when you think about it, and you asked earlier, about the lawsuits and the corrupt courts and all of that. And yes, I totally agree with you, because the courts intentionally were not taking a lot of the cases. And you kept hearing this thing about standing. These people that are suing don't have standing, and they kept using that. Well, where were the people that actually did have standing? So, like, for example, in Pennsylvania, instead of having the Attorney General of Texas sue to fix the election in Pennsylvania, that never should have happened. And yes, I agree. The Attorney General in Texas probably doesn't really have standing. You know who did have standing? The Pennsylvania GOP. Why did they not file a lawsuit? Why did they not challenge the results? The problem that we have is we've got to understand, not only are we taking on the Democrats, not only are we taking on the left, we're taking on our own party. I would charge that the vast majority and almost all of the GOP leadership wanted to get Trump gone. We saw this, how we had the I believe it was the attorney general and the governor of Georgia. They were actively involved in covering up what happened with the stolen election of 2020. Guess what? They're Republicans. We've got to understand the Republicans hate Trump just as much, if not more, than the Democrats. They were involved in this. And had the GOP done their job and actually challenged a lot of these results, we could probably have actually overturned the 2020 election simply by proving election fraud and that the states changed the rules illegally. But the state GOP did not do that. And thus, everything was upheld. I'm out here in California, and I tell this story all the time. I've probably already told the story on your show before, but it's important to reiterate this. In the state of California, we have print-at-home ballots. Forget like mail-in ballots. I'm talking you can literally push a button and print your ballot on your own printer paper and mail that in, and that counts. I made a big deal about this, and I got a call from the guy who organized the Recall Gavin Newsom movement, who's a high-up guy with the GOP, and he told me to knock it off because Democrats are too stupid to steal elections. This is the problem that we have with the Republican Party. They are apathetic, they have no motivation, and they will try to shut down anybody who tries to expose any of this kind of stuff. They don't take this seriously because they want to go back to business as usual, where it's a little give and take with the Democrat Party, and they just go about and they can raise money off of fighting against the Democrats. And they hated Trump probably more than the Democrats did. Donald Trump is not in the White House today because of the GOP more than because of the Democrat Party.
Wow, Jeff, that was a lot. And you are right on point, the GOP. And as we said, first half of the show, the GOP has got to be prepared and do not underestimate their ability to blow things up. A lot of people are saying that they are conservatives and that they're Republicans. They talk a good talk. I mentioned Mr. Crenshaw, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and even Kevin McCarthy. Now, I know a lot of people are out there, they're rolling their eyes and they're probably swearing at their radio, their podcast, wherever they're listening to their podcast right now. But I'm going to speak truth to power because there are many that are there that have a visceral hate for Trump because he was different. He's like, nope, I'm not that George Bush Republican. I see things the way they are. I am for America. And as you identified once before, Jeff, is that a lot of them just want to raise money off of being oppressed, the party that's oppressed. They don't want me to do this. Because if that weren't true, they would be standing up and pushing back every chance they got when they heard the word racism. They would be pushing back and say, oh, no, you don't. But what do? They roll over. Well, we want to be proper. We want to be prayer. We want to respect the office. Yeah, but you're letting or allowing your opponent to identify you. And so now every time the left mentions the Republicans, it's, well, they're racist and they're this. And as I said, the moment it gets into the public domain, once it is out there, it is hard to pull it back. It is hard to deconstruct. And of course, you have Republicans who are afraid to do it. We have had so many candidates to come on our show last year. Many of them were Hispanic, and they were pushing back on this narrative. I mean, and they were calling it out, truth to power, saying, hey, this is what we've got to do. We can't be afraid. But for some reason, our elected officials, our leaders, they're afraid. They see the opportunity. They see that, oh, well, we're going to take back both houses. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do about election integrity? What are you going to do to say, hey, this is who we are. We're ready to fight. Some of them just want the position. That's it. They want the position. That is the reason why we have someone like Liz Cheney. Why hasn't Kevin McCarthy come out and rebuked her and said, we're kicking you out? Look at what the Democrats are thinking about doing to Christine Sinema. Why can't we do that to Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger? We're removing you from all of your committees. We're removing you. We're taking you off of all the committees to send out a sign that we will not allow this to happen. But he's not going to do it. He's going to sit there, just kick the can, just keep kicking the can. And he and Han, okay, well, let's let her do it. Everyone knows what she's doing is wrong. No, but we need you. If you are a leader, by gosh, stand up and be a leader. If the tables were turned, she would go after you without a second thought. Why can't we do that? We know that a lot of the people that are there could care less about the party. They just want their names out there. Oh, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. But are you willing to go the mile? Are you willing to stand up and take all the shots that are going to come your way? Now, we're there singing the praises of Christian Sinema and singing the praises of Joe Manchin. We're just singing their praises. They're not going to help us. It's just two of them. What happens when they flip and say, oh, well, we're going to do this? Oh, well, what happened? I thought they were on our side. Yeah, for a moment, we got a temporary victory or reprieve. But what are we doing to help ourselves? What have we set down to say, this is how we're going to combat this? This is what we're going to do for election integrity. We're going to make certain, like you said, Jeff, I was completely unaware of it. In California, you can print out your own ballots. That makes no sense. So you'll have illegal aliens doing the same thing. And do not doubt me on this, because in New York City, they're giving them the right to vote in local elections. Now, how do we know they're not going to vote into the general election? It's just one step away. Who's going to stop them? Who's going to say that you shouldn't be voting here? Who's going to look at the record? And where's the ID? Who's going to raise all of those questions? The Democrats? We're in a Democrat city, New York City, big city. Most of the votes come from New York City. Who's going to look at it? The Attorney General certainly isn't going to look at it. She's too busy trying to go after Trump and make a name for herself. So who's going to be willing? What lawyers have we identified to look at this and make certain that the election has integrity? And in California, because they're gunning for those big states. You have a lot of these big states that are sanctuary states. We just can't rely on Florida. Certainly can't rely on Georgia, because as you said, Jeff, the GOP there, they hated Trump with a passion. And any other Republican that comes out, if they're not going to do their bidding, don't tank it for them also. So what are we doing? How are we ensuring the people? And I would say to the voters, I know that it's hard, but we can't give up. We can't just throw an election and say, well, I'm not going to vote because it's going to be the same thing. We can't do that. We have to keep moving forward. And we have to make certain that we're vetting the candidates, making certain that these candidates are doing what they say they're going to do. Because as we see now, many of them say they will and they won't. I mean, I question the leadership within the party, Jeff. I don't know about you, but I have reservations. And it looks as if though they're talking a good talk now because they think that they will win on 2022. But will it be different? Or will it be the same old thing? There are so many things that we need to address. But first, election integrity has to come out. We've got to make certain that there's integrity. What are your thoughts, Jeff, on the leadership right now within the Republican Party?
I mean, I'm gonna say something a little crazy, but I'm calling on conservatives to primary every single person that is in Congress today. Like this is where we are. I am sick and tired of all of these Republican politicians who talk a great game, but when push comes to shove, they will not follow through with action. And I'm talking about guys like Ted Cruz. I'm like even to a certain degree, I like Rand Paul. I was a Rand Paul guy in the 2020 election before Donald Trump ran. And he makes some great arguments and he's been going after Fauci brilliantly. At the same time, there have been times when push came to shove and he could have actually done something about election fraud, or he could have done something early on about free speech when it comes to social media, and he didn't. This is where I am at today. I say primary every single Republican that we can until they are willing to actually do the bidding of their constituents, until they are actually willing to implement and protect our constitutional rights. There's not a single person in Congress today that I am endorsing. Everybody that I've endorsed, and I've posted this on my Getter page, and I'm probably going to continue to expand this, but my endorsements, every single one of them are people that are outsiders. Every single one of them are people that are not currently in office. And I am sick of the Republican leadership. I have no tolerance for them. And that goes in DC, that also goes on the state level. There are very few state GOPs that I think are actually doing a very good job. So then I come back to, what can you and I do? What can we do? What can the average person who doesn't have a show or is not a politician or doesn't have a platform, what can they do? You know what you can do? You can show up to your local GOP events. What I did, and I told my wife, this is what I'm doing right now this year. I registered for all the email lists for my county GOP, the state GOP. I'm getting sent lists of events and meetings and Zoom meetings and all of that. I'm going to as many as I possibly can. I want to get involved and I want to understand. Maybe you need to run for a local chair. Maybe you need to get involved in your local GOP. Ask them the hard questions in public. When Gavin Newsom came out with a statewide face mask mandate across the entire state, my first thought was, to go over to our city councilman and ask him straight up, what are you going to do now that this face mask mandate is in place? Are you going to enforce it? How are you going to fight against it? How are you going to protect our rights? And you know what he told me? He told me, we're not allowing our police to enforce it, or else we're going to pull their funding. So guess what? Down where I am, I have not had to wear a mask anywhere. There's signs everywhere, but nobody's enforcing it because there is no enforcement mechanism in our county, because our leadership heard from enough people to push back. Maybe when we're talking about election integrity, maybe we'd understand that our GOP, if they had done the right thing in the 2020 election, they could have and should have sued, and they would have had standing. Get involved in your local elections. Get involved in your city elections. Get involved in your county. Look at the power that Maricopa County Board of Supervisors had. Before all of this, when it came to the Arizona audit, had anybody heard of any single one of those people before? No. Most of them were probably just people just check the box because, oh, they're Republican, check the box, they're good to go. Get involved, understand what's going on, because what's happening at the local level is directly impacting what's happening on the federal level. And the Democrats understand this. The left understands this. Republicans and conservatives do not, because all we focus on is DC instead of focusing on local. If you want to change things, you want to fix the 2022 election before it happens, you better get involved right now with your county GOP and your state GOP, or else we're done for.
Jeff, that's huge to primary all of the folks that are there now. Because when you look at it, I mean, you're on to something. Now, I like Jim Jordan. I think that he's, you know, he's a fighter. But when you start talking primary, I mean, people start to wake up and they start to listen and they start to move. Maybe that's the direction we should go in. Because we need to get their attention. And I can't say this enough. Yes, 2022 seem as if though that it's a shoe in for Republicans, but we're in January. I mean, that's a long way off. And in politics, that's like a lifetime. And anything could happen between now and then. And you see how feckless Republicans can be when they start to fight amongst each other and not stand up. Just let one of them go off the rail slightly and Democrats jump in on it, and then they're quick to throw that person under the bus. But what the heck is Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger? Why are they still on their committees? What are you doing, Kevin McCarthy? I don't get it. And he's gunning to be Speaker of the House. We should call him out. I'm calling him out. And if you're listening to the show, please send it to him. Play it on all your platforms, because it's not just good enough to say for him to say, well, look at what we're doing and we're going to take things back and we're going to change things. Yeah, talk is cheap, and your talk is cheap right now, because I still see Liz Cheney on a committee. I still see you afraid to call her out. Now, some would say, yeah, but now you're talking about Republicans fighting Republicans. No, she's not a Republican. She's not a conservative. She's just Liz Cheney out for herself. Out to reestablish her dad, to get back credibility for her dad, because the Democrats don't like her dad and they don't like her, but she wants to be a revisionist. And I guess they came together and said, hey, if you do this for us, we'll do this for you. Does not work that way with me. So if that's the route we need to take to say we're going to primary the lot of you until you get your act together, then maybe that's what we should do, because it's time for a change. The country is changing, and it's not changing for the good. Republicans have sat back and watched the left institute their crazy ideas while we're thinking, oh, well, it's okay. It doesn't affect me because I got my own little thing here. But look at how it's affecting the country with all of the nonsense, all of the misinformation that they're certainly putting out there. That's their misinformation that people are consuming and believing that it's the truth. And if we don't stand up and push back the way we should, that's it. We either have a country that we can be proud of, or we have absolutely nothing but chaos with everyone coming into the country, doing whatever the hell they want to do, voting for whomever they want to vote for. And I would think that Republicans would be so careful and thoughtful to say, wait, you got people in New York saying that they're going to let illegals vote? I would think that they would be all on top of that and say, wait, we definitely got to look at election integrity. We've definitely got to change things because that's wrong. But they hear it and they go, oh, okay, well, it's a liberal city, so let's just move on. That's just New York City. Oh, in California, that's just California. That's it? That's all you have to say? Do you not realize how that will affect a domino effect that it could possibly have? When you start having people who should not vote, vote? Russia can send over a dozen people and say, okay, vote this way. Now, some would say, oh, that would never happen. Yeah, we thought that we would never be locked in also for almost 2 years. We thought that our civil rights would never be taken from us. We thought that we wouldn't be silenced, and we're silenced on social media. And they're telling us there's nothing you can do about it. It's a private company. Mandates. Joe said no mandates. We thought all of these things would never happen, but yet and still, here we are with our basic rights being taken from us little by little by little. And our elected officials are just saying, oh, it'll never happen. Let's focus on this. And we're going to do this because we're going to get the both houses back. And a lot of people are excited that, oh, we're going to take it back. But once you get it, what are you going to do with it? My grandfather used to talk and used to say, like, look at that dog chasing the car. He was like, why is he chasing the car? He said, no, think about it. If he ever caught the car, what do you think he would do with the car? So I think about the Republicans. So if you get both houses back in 2022, what exactly are you going to do? Are you going to stand for something? Are you going to fall for nothing? Because what's out there right now is nothing but a bunch of nonsense. So we need to hold our elected officials accountable, as opposed to just saying, I'm just going to vote for you so we can get it. No, they need to have actionable items, plain and simple.
Yeah, well said, Rob. And thank you so much to our guest, Jeff Dornick. Check out AmericanActionSummit.com. American Action Summit, End Medical Tyranny is February 5th. You guys definitely want to check that out. Thank you, Jeff, for coming on. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.